We start hour number two with a couple of interviews. I can already tell you they're going to be back-to-back good interviews. I know this already. We start the second hour by having a conversation with the head football coach at NC State. Entering his 10th season with the Wolfpack, led NC State to 7 bowl games. The most in school history. Most 9-win seasons. More than any other coach in school history. NC State coming off a 9-3 year last year. They open up against ECU September 3rd. Dave Dorn, of course, is their head coach. Dave, it's good to have you back. How are things?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me, man. Things are good. Just getting ready to get this thing rolling here.
Good to hear it. It seems like every time you and I talk, the buzz around the program is louder. The expectations are higher. So right about now, how would you describe that mood and that mindset of your guys going into this particular season?
Well, you know, one, I think they're excited more than anything just to get back on the grass. You know, our season ended abruptly last year, and most of our players are back. So there's a little bad taste coming out of the bowl game that didn't happen, and just ready to get back to it, you know, and kind of move forward these expectations. And accolades have been fun for the guys, but I think they all know that none of that's going to win games for us. We've got to go earn it.
All right, so I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you about that. The fact of the matter is, for those who do not know, the last bowl game or the bowl game last year canceled due to a COVID outbreak among UCLA's players. That deprived you of a look at being the second 10-win team in the 130-year history of the program. Look, I get that you're focused on now and this year, but how painful was that not to get a chance to create that legacy? And is it something that fuels the team going into this year?
Yeah, it was very painful. And probably more so the way that it happened than anything. You know, we understand COVID is a part of what we're all dealing with. And, you know, for any of the players at UCLA that had it, we felt for them. It was more of a problem that no one communicated with us. And we were literally walking to our team meeting to get on the bus when we found out. And, you know, those kind of things just don't make sense. You know, there's got to be some sportsmanship involved in situations and communication between staffs. And so it was more just having the carpet yanked out from under you than anything. And, you know, I think we did everything we could to try to comfort guys and this and that. But, you know, it's no different than losing a tough game. You don't feel good again until you win the next one. And we haven't had a next one. So it's been a long time. And it definitely carried us through the offseason, just anxious to get back out there and do it again.
Dave Dorn joining us. I can appreciate that response. So you and I have talked in the past about Devin Leary, and he's coming off a season where he had 35 touchdowns and only 5 INTs. With those numbers, he's starting to get more and more attention nationally. That said, do you feel like he gets the level of respect and attention that he has earned and deserves?
Well, you know, yes, he is now. He was not at the end of last season, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, there's other, you know, people that didn't see what he did. And I think as we got into the offseason, people started really digging in and studying who's coming back in college football. They were like, wow, this guy had a spectacular season, you know. And it's not just the touchdown-interception ratio. You look at, you know, what he did in tight games, what he did in the red zone, not throwing an interception, scoring on all of his two-minute drives and some of them to win games. You know, he's a really good football player, and as you get to know him, you know, you respect him even more because he's a great human being that brings the same level of consistency to the locker room and the building every day.
You know, you make another good point. I was going to say, it's, you know, you get that 35-5 ratio, and I could even say he's got that it, but it seems to me there's more to it than those two things. There's something here. Like, there have been some really great quarterbacks at NC State, Russell Wilson, Phillip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett, and now Leary. In fact, where would you rank him among the school's all-time greats, especially in those tight pressure situations?
You know, it's hard for me to compare him to Phillip and Russ just because I didn't coach those two guys. And they were as good as they get, you know. With Jacoby and Ryan Finley, who came after him, both are NFL players, you know, they were all really good players. You know, the thing that separates Devin is his ability to score touchdowns in two-minute drives. I mean, he's very unique that way and just moves the team and finds ways to make plays to keep drives alive and score points. And that is very unique. There's just not as many players that I've seen that have that kind of knack of being so clutch at the end of the game or the end of the half.
Dave Dorn is joining us. Dave, speaking of NFL players, I wanted to ask you about Ike Ekwonu, who went to the Panthers with the 6th pick in this year's draft. The story goes that you knew from watching one play of his high school tape that he was going to be elite. What was that play? What did you see on that play that led you to believe that he was special?
Yeah, it was actually in person. We had already offered him, but I went and watched him play his senior year, and he was playing both ways, offensive line and defensive line, the entire game, playing hard, and all of a sudden they threw an interception. He was on offense at the time, and kid running it back, Hickey hit him, and I mean, it was like the guy got launched out of a cannon. It was one of the most hard hits I've seen in person, and it's just like, wow, you know, I mean, the stuff this guy was doing on the field. I came back and told the staff, you know, that he's going to play as a true freshman. And that's hard to do as an offensive lineman. There's other positions you can do it much easier, but didn't take long, and he was starting for us at left tackle.
It's a great story. Speaking of great stories, I had Eli Drinkwitz on the show earlier this week. Typically, as you might imagine, I love the conversation. He was your offensive coordinator at NC State before going to App State, now Missouri. What did you see in him that made you hire him? And then how much pride is there for you in seeing a former assistant have the kind of success he's having now?
Yeah, you know, I'm really happy for Eli and his family. And, you know, at the time, Jim, we were changing offensive styles, and I was trying to find someone that was really good in the pass game and could develop the quarterback position as a thrower. We needed some creativity in our offense. You know, we had been really good at running the football and really good in play action, different things like that. But with firepower at that time in our league with Clemson and Florida State and Louisville, we needed to have more opportunities through the pass game. And so I just reached out to a lot of people in the business that I respect, and his name kept coming up as a really good young coach that understood offensive football and pass game. And after interviewing him, and it was clear he was the right fit for our program.
Right. Let me ask you about your defense, Dave. On defense, you don't just have a lot of starters coming back, but you've got multiple starters in the two deep. Given that you can't really teach in-game experience, how valuable is it to have a defense that is loaded with guys who have that kind of experience?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you said it. You can't replace game reps. You know, you can find good players, and even guys that are transfers may come in, but, you know, we got guys that have 2,000 game reps behind them, and those kind of experiences those guys have, the continuity that they have, the fact that all 10 of my assistants are back too, the only school in the conference that has all their assistant coaches back, there's continuity. So there's a lot of good things there, and we dealt with some tough injuries on defense last year that allowed the younger players to come in and kind of become starters on their own right. So we feel good about the depth and the competition going into camp on that side of the ball.
Seems to me your defense looks amazing, like a really, really good defense. I want to just go back really quickly to what you said about the staff. What's it say about the culture of the program that you've built and vibe that everybody, in terms of the coaching staff, is coming back? Everybody's involved. Everybody wants to be there.
Yeah, it says a lot. You know, I think it probably says more than any of the words I could put to it. It's just the action behind all 10 assistants staying, and several of them had opportunities to leave. So, you know, I think there's unfinished business here. There's great chemistry. Our coaches are friends, not just, you know, guys that work together, and they have really good connections. And I think the fact that we hang out together, the wives are good friends, it's a good family feel, not just with the players, but with the staff.
So, Dave, one more thing. Continuity is so huge, obviously, especially at a time when there's so much change in the game. One of the big talking points of the offseason, of course, the announcement that USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12 to go to the Big Ten. I'm curious, what was your reaction to that news? Is it just the way the game is going, or does the sport lose something when that happens?
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate. It's the dollars ruling everything right now, and realignment and television contracts, and I think the student-athlete experience is really going to suffer. If I'm an athlete in California that has to travel, you know, multiple times a week in some sports to go play in the middle of the country or the East Coast even with Rutgers in Maryland, you know, that's a lot of travel. It's a lot of time zone change. And, you know, you're waking up at 6 a.m. their time, which might be 4 or even 3 a.m. your time based on where you're at. I just don't see how that's good for the student-athlete, regardless how much more money it's bringing in for facilities. The experience is what it's about when you're playing your games and competing. So I wish it was more regional-based with the changes that are being made. That's just my two cents on it.
I got you. They are going to open up their season against ECU on September 3rd. NC State coming off a 9-win season last year. Their head coach is entering his 10th season with the Wolfpack, Dave Doran. Dave, I appreciate the visit, as always. Thank you so much. Good luck. I know you and I will do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim. Go Pack.
You got it, Coach. Good talking to you. Appreciate it. Dave Doran joining us. Go Pack. They had a look at 10 wins last year, and he said, yeah, it's disappointing, but COVID being COVID, we understand this. These things happen. He said, I wish it would have been handled a little bit differently.